All right. I have never, I don't ever know when should I really stand up, when should I go forward. I never know when the mic is working. So if anything is wrong, start throwing stuff and I'll leave. I thank you, Stefan, very much for singing these songs. If I knew that you would sing all the songs I picked, I would have chosen more. I love both of these songs, and both of these songs I will use during my lesson today, especially the one that we sang just now about the problems in our world that we do not understand, and that one day we'll finally, further along somewhere, we'll finally understand it. Today, when I was thinking about what to speak about in front of everyone, and I know there's basically the whole camp here, and there are all the teachers here as well from the camp. So I didn't know what to choose. I was thinking maybe Jeremiah, maybe Ezekiel, Revelation, something that I can pick a hard topic. In the end, I decided to pick the whole basics of our lives, especially of young people, who I can see there are a lot of us today. I want to speak about one big problem that all of us will or probably already encountered in our lives. I want to speak about a problem that was there not only in this age, but about a problem that was there in every age, even in the best times for Christians or Jews. I want to speak about the problem we sang about the problem of seeing other people around me who are doing better than I am. I want to ask you a couple of questions before I start. And don't scream, there's a lot of you. So if you don't mind, raise your hands if you feel guilty. Let's start with an easy one. I always like when the teacher butters you up and prepares you for the hardest one. I want to ask you, do you love God? I think we all do. That's why we gather on Resurrection Day. That's why we sang praises to God. That's why we pray to our God, because we love Him. Do you think God loves you back? Yes. We can see it on the whole sacrifice of Jesus Christ for me and my sins. Father had loved the world so much that He sacrificed His only Son for all of us. Now, God loves you. Do you love God? Do you think God blessed you? We all made it here today. We all, at least I hope, we all have a roof above our heads at home. We all have a family that we can call our own. We all are part of one this big spiritual family. Father has blessed us. He blessed us so much that we don't even deserve it. But yet, no, the hardest one. And this is the last one I promise you have to raise your hands for. Do you know anyone in this world? You don't have to know him personally. You can know him through social media, through TV, in politics, anywhere. Do you know anyone who is not a Christian, who does not follow the one and only God, and from a physical point of view is doing better than you? I think we all know that someone. My name is Vitek Lustig, and as you probably know from my name, I come from a weird country. I come from the Czech Republic, which is in the middle of Europe. That's a country where right now there are four churches. I grew up in a neighborhood or in a small village where there were no other Christians. The elementary school I attended, the secondary and the high school, I was the only Christian there, except my brothers. And these moments in our lives will come every now and then when we have to face the people from the world. And a lot of these times, these people from the world will be doing better than us. And that's, in some point of view, that's very discouraging. I know a lot of people who had lost their faith because they looked into the world. They saw the world. They saw the wicked people we had just sang about. They didn't understand it. And they refused their faith. I want to share with you a story from the Bible about the same problem. I want to take you to my favorite book of all and to my favorite chapter of all. I want you to open your songs in your Bible. Open your Psalms in the Old Testament. Today I want to go through one psalm with y'all. I want to introduce you to probably a new character, at least for some of you. I want to introduce you to a guy named Asaph. He's my favorite psalm writer. He's my favorite because I can really relate to him. Very often when we talk about Jesus Christ, when we talk about Paul in the New Testament, we can't relate to them because of all their knowledge. I want to introduce you today to a character that we all can know, we all can relate, because he had the same problems we did, we do, and we will. Please look into Psalm 73, and that's where I would like to spend my lesson today. Asaph is a guy who lived in the time of David, in the Old Testament. He wrote altogether 11 Psalms in our Bibles. And he's mentioned two more times in the Bible. He's mentioned in 1 Chronicles 15, in the time where David brings home the Ark of the Covenant. So everything was perfect by that time. He brings home the Ark of the Covenant, he brings it, he sets it in the temple, and now he establishes many roles in the Israel, in Jerusalem. One of the roles he establishes is song leading. And he asks the Levites to choose someone. The Levites had chosen many people, and one of them was this Asaph. So he was a song leader. We know he was in the time of David, in the time of the Ark of the Covenant. Very often when we think about the time of the David, of the perfect king, very often talked about, we think about him, about the time as being the perfect time for a Jew to live. There was nothing bad. The perfect king, the best king, was ruling. There were all these prophecies. Very often we think there was nothing bad in this time. But this guy, Asaph, even though he lived in this time, had the same problem like we do. The other time Asaph is mentioned, it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 29. He's just mentioned there in the time of Hezekiah, when he tries to reestablish the service. And he tells the people to go into the house of Lord and to sing praises, sing psalms. And he mentions two authors there. He mentions David, the King David, that is the most quoted author in the Old Testament. And he mentions Asaph. So those two authors were supposed, the songs of these two authors were supposed to be sang in the time of Hezekiah, the Judean king. This is Asaph. We don't know much more about him from the other parts of the Bible. All we can look into are the Psalms that we have from him. And this Psalm 73 describes perfectly his life. And I love how much it changes. Let's start reading in verse 1. A Psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. I think we can say amen to that. God is good to those who do good. We all know that. We know that from other passages like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We know that from Psalm 1 and other, especially in the New Testament, the Lord will take care of you. And we all said we are blessed by God. God took care of us. Then how come there are people in this world who are doing better than us, even though they're not Christians? In my kindergarten, I had my best friend, and I still know him, and we're still very good friends, even after this story. His name is Peppa, and we grew up together. Every day we played on firemans, and no one could separate us. Anyway, we were in this class, and I saw a girl. Yes, there is always a girl. I was I was 5 or 6. I was there, and I watched this girl, and her name is Anetka, and she was the prettiest girl in the world. So what I did, I had to share it, of course. So I went to my best friend Peppa, best friend in the world, And I told him, Peppa, you see Anetka over there? We're dating now. She is my girlfriend, by the way. And Peppa looked at me. He looked at Anetka. And he said, no, I'm dating her. And well, because I'm skinny now, and I was even skinnier before that, and he was much, much stronger and heavier. Well, he was dating her. He was not a Christian, though. And I wasn't a Christian at that time either, but I was trying to follow God. Why didn't I get the girl? We have just read, God is good to those who do good. A lot of times, being a Christian, having the Christian faith we have, slows us down in the physical point of view. We encounter many problems, many temptations, and very often it happens that people fall away from the faith because they don't understand it. Asaph here, he starts off good. He talks about God is good to those who are good. But, verse 2 starts. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here Asaph is having a simple problem. He sees the people in this time, in the time of David. He sees wicked people, and we see them around us everywhere. He sees wicked people, and he sees how good they're doing. And he's envious of them. And it doesn't have to be just a question of money or power. But very often, it's especially for young people, especially in high school or college, countless of times I have been asked, hey, Vitek, let's go canyoning this weekend. When are you leaving? Oh, Sunday morning. I can't go with you. Very often, being a Christian slows us down, and we lose on a lot of stuff. And for us young people, it's very hard to understand it. Asaph here was envious of them. And very often, we have to be careful not to be like Asaph, not to say, I want to be like that guy. I know he's doing some wrong stuff, but I want to be at least a bit like him. Not to be envious of these people. In verse 4 and 5, Asaph continues describing these wicked people. Notice that Asaph already knew these things when he says these. In verse 4 and 5, for they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. These are the good adjectives. Not being stricken by the mankind. Living the good life. That's how he describes them. Now in verse 6 and 7, he uses different adjectives. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with holiness. These are the wicked people he's speaking about. He knows these things. He knows how wicked they are, even in the eyes of the world. People who are violent are bad people. He knows these things. But even though he knows these things, in verse 3, he says, I am envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 8 and 9 describes how horribly they acted. Not only against people, but they acted against God as well. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heaven, and their tongue struts through the earth. They set their mouths against the heavens. That's how bad they are. But even though Asaph was envious of them, and I know all of us, we know someone like that. We know wicked people in this world. We must be very careful not to fall down the same path Asaph did. This was not only a problem of Asaph. This was the problem of many other people. That's in verse 10 and 11. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault. No fault in these kind of people, in the wicked people. And in the time of Asa, there were people who said this. They're even saying in verse 11, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? They're saying, how can God know about this? How can this be happening? And this problem was a big problem back then. And this problem is a big problem now. And we sang about it. Further along, we'll understand why. Asa didn't understand it. Asa, it got him so down that in verse 12 and 13, he says this. Behold, these are the wicked. Always at ease, they increase in riches. All in vain. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. This is the lowest point of Asaph's life. I know this is a song, this is a poetic language. But what he says here is, all in vain I'm following God. All in vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All in vain have I kept my heart clean for God. We must never say, all in vain, I'm a Christian for God. Even if there are people who are doing better than us, even if we do not understand it, and I hope we will understand it after this song, but we must never say, all in vain, I'm a Christian. Asaph describes how horribly he felt in verse 14 and 15. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. Every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Very often, Christianity slows us down. Being a faithful Christian, and I know it does, even if you're homeschooled or you go to a public school, everywhere you meet people who aren't Christians, everywhere you meet people who are wicked. At home, I work in a small town called Pardubice, and I started a small marketing agency. So I offer people marketing services on the internet. And this one restaurant approached me, and they said, hey, Vitek, we want you to do our social media. Can you come for a meeting? We'll discuss everything. So I said, why not? Yeah, I needed a job. So I went over there, and it was a sketchy-looking restaurant. Even from outside, it was dark. It was weird. I should have expected something. I entered in. I sat down, and the guy was actually pretty nice. And the guy looked at me, and we started discussing stuff, the normal small talk. And then what I do, I always ask the same question. Why should people go to your restaurant? Why are you different than other restaurants around you? And the guy looked at me and he said, you know, Vitek, in our country, in the Czech Republic, it is forbidden by law to smoke inside a restaurant. But because we are, he didn't say sketchy looking, but he might as well said that. He said, I don't even remember what word. He said that they're not named restaurant. On paper, they're named a bit differently. And that allows people to smoke in there. So he wanted me to go on the social media. And in the town where I study, where I work, he wanted me to tell everyone to come here because they can smoke. I said, all right. I hope you can find someone else. Because I'm not doing that. Sometimes it's the girl we lose because of faith. Sometimes it's the man we lose because of faith. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's a trip with friends. But we have to make a lot of decisions in this world based on our faith. And if we put God on our first place, then the decisions will affect our lives strongly. Asa still didn't understand it up to here. But I love verse 17, because if the psalm ended in verse 16, I don't think we would have this psalm in our Bibles. I don't think you would have enjoyed this preaching. Verse 17 turns the whole life of Asaph around. It changes whole life from the roots to the top. In verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. Notice, where did the change happen? It wasn't when he was on the trip with friends. It wasn't when he finally got the job. It wasn't when he got the girl. It was when he was in the sanctuary of God. How can we be in the sanctuary of God? I think we're in the sanctuary of God right now. Every time we pray, we sing to our God, we study together. And that's why it means so much to me that I get to spend the next week with everyone around you. When he entered the sanctuary of God, he then understood it. He then discerned their end. He found out that it's not about the path we walk on in this world. It's not about this life that we should look at. It's the ending that matters. It's the end of the road that counts. In verse 18 and on, he continues describing the end of one path. He says here, "Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms." Basically, what Asaph is saying here is, you, God, are in charge. You set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. Maybe I don't understand it, but I know that you will take care of it. I know that you're in charge. You will take care of the wicked people. You will make sure they're set in slippery places. They are destroyed. And I love verse 20. "Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms." How hard is it in the morning to forget a dream? For me, it's pretty easy. Usually, I don't even have to go to morning. I forget it during the sleep. That's how easy it is for God to get rid of these wicked people. "When you rouse yourself, O Lord, you despise them as phantoms. You destroy them. You are in charge." That's one of these ends. That's one of the endings of the pathway. Now, after he finally noticed, when he finally understands it, he remembers one important thing, and that's how horribly he acted. He remembers that in verse 3, he said, "I'm envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He remembers in verse 13, he forsaken God, and he had said, "All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence." He remembers all these things when he fell away from God. And now in verse 21, he says, "When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you." That's how he describes his acting, his way towards God. Now, those are strong words. We usually don't use them about ourselves. We usually don't use them about anyone unless it's an animal. And that's how he describes himself, his way of life before the change. Verse 23 gives me the biggest hope in the whole world. Verse 23 says, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold my right hand." Even though I acted horribly, even though I was like a beast towards you, I'm still with you. And why is he still with me? Why is Asaph still with God? It wasn't because of Asaph he was keeping the back door open. "Oh, I'll maybe return to you." He closed the door. No, it was because Lord God was holding his right hand. It wasn't that Asaph was holding God. It was God's hand who was holding him. And God loves us so much that he does that for us, that he takes care of us. Because our God, our Lord, is in charge of everything. We saw the ending of one path. Now here we have the description of the other path, the other ending. In verse 24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will receive me to glory. Verse 25 and 26 describes the change of Asaph's life. Describes how much he turned around. What he now knows. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In the beginning, he was envious of the arrogant. In the middle, he forsaken God. Now he says that even his heart and his flesh may faint. But as long as he has God with him, he hasn't lost the most important thing in his life. As long as he still has God, God is the strength of his heart. And the same for us. I know sometimes we see people who are doing better than us. But I promise you, as long as you have God in your heart, then you can lose everything here on this earth. And you still have everything. You still hadn't lost the most important thing. Verse 27 and 28, it summarizes the whole song. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You shall put an end to everyone who's unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. The people on the other path will perish. And there is an ending prepared for them. And we know the ending. We know how bad it is. So next time we see these people in our lives, next time we see the wicked ones, let's not say what Asaph did. I was envious of them. Let's not even laugh at them because we know the ending of their path. No, but because we know the ending, let's try our best to make them change the path. Because we know exactly what will happen to them. They will be destroyed. They will perish. They will be swept away. What's important for us to know that there are only two paths. I like to compare it to a black and white movie. I think you all have seen a black and white movie. Do you know what's the difference between a black and white movie and a colorful movie? It's the color. In the black and white movie, we have only two colors. We have black and white. And that's what this psalm looks like. It's either this or that. It's either black or white. It's either one path or the other, one ending or the other, but there's nothing in this middle. And a lot of times, a lot of my friends have told me, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be forsaken by God. I feel that what I'm doing is perfectly fine. They're trying to make a third path for themselves. There's not a third path in this world. There are only two. And we get to choose on which one to be. It's all up to us. If there is anyone here today who would like to step forward, who would like to change the path or step onto the right path towards the eternal kingdom we are promised by God, let him step forward while we sing our invitation song.